My daughter was at the ripe age where she could come out on the field with me. I think my demeanor in general is very dad-esque. You know, I'm just like a dad. Like, people look at me and they're like, oh, that's a dad.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by BigCommerce. Build, run, and grow a better online business that's up and running in less time with less cost. With BigCommerce, get an e-commerce platform that won't hold you back today or in the future. With your choice of the best features and functionality to showcase your products and manage them for your business. BigCommerce is selling made simple, an e-commerce platform with powerful built-in tools for businesses of all shapes and sizes. You can rank higher with the best-in-class SEO. Move up in search results with features built to align with SEO best practices, including search-friendly themes and more. BigCommerce partners up with Google to ensure industry-standard SEO built into all of their sites. You also get full control over URLs, tag titles, header tags, and metadata so you can keep your brand front and center. Make social media work for you and make your customers find an easy way to purchase your products across all social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram. All sales are sent back to your online store for seamless processing and inventory control. Manage your online business with ease. With more out-of-the-box features, BigCommerce has taken the complexity out of setting up and managing your store, helping your business save time and money as you grow. To get your free trial started today, go to BigCommerce.com. That's BigCommerce.com. What's going on, everyone? Art Eddy here for another, I'm going to say, a special edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. There's going to be some old school, new school, all this other stuff going on, of course. The guy that I used to do the show, The Lunch Break, with, we're still working behind the scenes to make that happen. My boy, the guy who wrote a book with me, who showed me the ropes, the Jedi Master to me, the Padawan in writing, John Finkel. What's up, dude?
This is just the longest intro. I feel like Apollo Creed. That's great. Just keep going.
And we're so happy to have this guy back. He has something on Tom Brady that Tom Brady can't do. They're both professional athletes. They both won the championship at the highest level. But he is able to stay retired and hang out with the family. Low-hanging fruit that I just picked off that tree that every dad blogger was making videos of and all that stuff, but I had to put this out there because I know Jeff Antonella is a great guy, a great dad, and we'd love to have him back on. Thanks for taking the time, Jeff. What's up?
That's right, Brady. I got something you can't do. Stay retired. Stay retired and on the couch.
Yeah, I was going to say, what couch surfing tips do you have? You know, I mean, is there something he missed on where he was sitting around where you were just like, you know, if I could just tell Brady these three things, I think he would just stay home.
Well, I think the things I would tell him would be like, don't play in the MLS. Be the best you can. Like, if you're not the best ever, people probably won't even be begging for you to come back. So those are some things that probably play into it. But actually, I'm gonna segue this to a nice little thing real quick. The new company I'm working for, I thought you boys might like this shirt.
Oh, no.
Oh, Giselle, very nice.
God bless Giselle. She let him back. She let him back. She's the one that did it. We all know how it is as dads. You got to get the missus' approval.
No doubt.
But no, I appreciate
that. There
was
a conversation. There definitely was a conversation there where, I mean, who knows? Maybe he never, ever, ever was going to retire. And it was all like he got forced into it by like the Schefter news and all that. Who knows? But
it seemed rushed.
Seemed rushed. But who knows? Like if he did, I would love to know if she ever thought at one point, like, okay, we've had this discussion, he is retiring, and then it was like opened up again, or the whole time he was like, I don't know, I'm just going to announce it, we'll see. And she's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be funny if she was like, man, you are a nuisance in this house. I don't care what you do. That'd be the funny way.
That, yeah. Well, you know, we were kind of like joking about that, but Jeff, I think you're true on that, because no matter what you're doing, like, you know, we want to talk about your retirement, obviously, from the MLS and in the transition, because there has to be a transition. When I became a stay-at-home dad, there were certain things that I had to get used to. And then when my wife would, you know, on vacation, or when she had taken maternity leave, there were certain things that she wanted to do. I'm like, no, we don't roll that way in the house. And we're like, what? Because like, this is a well-oiled machine. So I think there is that part of like getting that acclimated into Tom Brady. I mean, you and Tom both play in the professional level. There's got to be, like, you always hear athletes saying, like, I miss the competition. Yeah, I miss the teammates, but I miss playing at that higher level. But I think with the whole, like, retirement thing, like, yeah, Schefter, there was there, but then, like, TB12's team tweeted out something, and it was, like, kind of between the championship game and the Super Bowl, and, like, okay, yeah, I should retire. It was kind of like,
we'll see what happens, right? He never shut the door completely. And I think everybody knew, was like, yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah, he left the window pretty open. And I think that, I mean, if I had to guess, it'd probably be something along the lines of trying to at least quiet the noise for a little bit. Because there was just so much noise around when Scheffler and Darlington put those tweets out and said he's retiring. There's just so much noise around it. And I'm sure as a guy who appreciates his offseason and is used to a normal offseason routine, that probably, you know, sped things up on him a little bit. But who knows, man? At the end of the day, he's back and the Bucs are probably going to win the Super Bowl again. And I'm just happy to be in Tampa for it.
Yeah, I think it's great. Who knows if you're physically at that age, like able to do what he's able to do. But I kind of feel like it's not like he was a bum last year or like it was close. I mean, he led the league in everything. And so it's like he's probably just sitting there thinking, like, when I'm done, I'm really done. Right. He's not going to retire for a year and then come back. So, I mean, I think you're right. I think he doesn't care that it was a media thing and people were like, oh, retire, don't retire. Like, they cornered him. If no one asked him about it, I don't think, you know, to your point, Jeff, he would have said anything. And if it wasn't leaked, I don't think he would have said anything. I'm sure as despite all like the stupid stuff with Bruce Arians, like they had a conversation, right? They were, they were going to know because he's not going to go play for like the Niners or something, which people were talking about. So I think at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, we're guys, like you're in your 30s, you're in your 40s. Like physically, if you still have it, I'd play forever. Like I'd play until one day I was throwing the ball. Like last night with my son in football on the street. And, you know, after like the 40th throw, I'm like, man, you know, like I'm not hitting that out route. Like, all right, now I'll step back. But if I'm still hitting that like 40 yard out route on a dime with speed, I'm playing football.
That segues to me nicely. I retired at 33, so.
Well, yeah.
So let's talk about that transition, man. What was it like for you? I mean, before we started recording, you kind of had a nice story, and you, please feel free to reshare it. But, like, just the fact that, like, you have more time with your family. But seriously, what was kind of going through your mind with everything about, like, all right, it's my time to retire and go on to something else?
Yeah, I mean, my story is a little different in that I've been dealing with injuries and I've been dealing with some stuff over the last 3 years. So this is kind of a process that's kind of, for me, it's been a little bit of a long time coming. So obviously I had a lot of success. You know, we reached MLS Cup, like I was kind of at the peak of my career, but during that stretch I got injured and I kept playing and eventually I needed surgery. So once I came back from that first surgery, that was like my window of time, that first surgery coming off of a high and then like really hitting that low of needing surgery and having to remove myself from the game and kind of all the momentum I had. That was my first chunk of time where I was really like, all right, let's evaluate my life. And if this were to happen again, how am I prepared for that next step in life? Because at the time, like all of my cards were in soccer. Everything, like my family was counting on me with soccer. You know, financially, everything was riding on this game. And so, you know, I did a lot of prep work and I did a lot of studying and trying to figure out what exactly it is that I wanted to dive into. And then, you know, once I recovered from that injury, the pandemic hits. So again, it's, you know, I have a lot of time to sit and think about what's important to me. How am I evaluating? I think a lot of us did that in 2020, you know, what is important to me, big picture, and not just on this little, you know, in the moment type of living. So you get through that and, you know, in my mind, I'm kind of like, all right, well, I'm in a good place mentally. I'm in a good place physically. I want to give soccer one more go. Like, I want to give it one more honest effort, see what can come out of it. During that window, my family made the decision to move back to Florida so that it was kind of like, I'm out here playing soccer by myself, commit to the game, see what I can get out of the game, see what I can get left from it. And, you know, my wife's at home handling the family. And then I play in a couple games. I'm starting the season really well. And then I get injured again. So it was like, so I was kind of building into this process. And then once I got that second injury, in my mind, I knew that this is probably going to be it for me because the toll that it's taken on my body, like I got injured. Is it really worth not being with my family to do this? And the answer to that is absolutely not. So for me, I just made that decision. You know, my cards were kind of dealt to me a little bit with the injuries and whatnot. But I had a lot of time to think and process and like plan out my next stages and really evaluate what I felt was the most important in my life. And at the end of the day, it's being with my family.
Nice. I'm curious because from a sports standpoint, and this is always so screwy, especially now that I'm in my, you know, early 40s, you're not old or retired or even like put out to pasture physically, like at 33. Like I think of your age and I'm like, God, like I could feel 33, like my back and my knees. And like, you guys know, like I lift, I do everything, but like 33 is a great age physically. Like you're still in your prime. And I know, yeah, maybe you can't play a pro sport, but what is it like mentally to be like, all right, so I can't be this pro athlete, but like I could still get in phenomenal shape and have like 15 years left of feeling great and being jacked before I'm like 50 years old.
You know, man, we have different mindsets on that. I think we have different mindsets on that. You know, for me, I've spent my entire life truly trying to be in the best physical shape that I could possibly be. Like that's been my entire life. And that's been the motivation behind working out. And, you know, I think the hardest part when it comes to that is I almost feel like I could still play in terms of being a goalie. Being a goalie at my age, I was like entering into some seriously prime years because I have a lot of experience. You know, it's such a mental position and kind of like quarterback. It's one of those things where if you could stay healthy, then you're going to be good. If you have experience behind you and you've seen things and you've played the game a lot and you've gotten a lot of games underneath your belt, like you're going to be good. So for me, the hardest part has been, I kind of feel like my body failed me. Like I'm at an age where, you know, my body was just like, yo, we need to take a timeout. We're not doing this anymore. I've been hurt, you know, I got hurt in some weird ways, but at the end of the day, you know, injuries are injuries and, you know, everything just kind of started piling on top of each other. So I'm actually kind of going the opposite direction. I haven't, you know, I'm going for runs, which is just like, you know, keeping those weekend beers off me a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not, you know, in the gym working out heavy right now because that's been my entire life. So I'm actually kind of enjoying a little break from that.
Well, you're entitled to a break. I think when you hit like when you hit the ripe old age of like 36, you'll realize I actually only have like a decade left where I'm still young enough to like get stronger and do cool things. So I'll give you like a 3-year window. We'll reconvene in like 2026. And then when you're back on whatever comeback trail you're on, we can have that discussion.
Absolutely. I told myself 6 months of grace.
Yeah.
Where it's okay to just like not worry about working out.
Yeah, you've earned it.
Yeah.
And I love that too. It's kind of like, you know, Jordan, right? Where as he got older, it was more like the turnaround fadeaway back shots where like yes, he had some physical stuff and capabilities there, but it was more mental. I could only imagine being a goalie in hockey and in soccer, just being like, probably when you know, if you could combine the stuff you know now to when you just got into the league, it would just be like a goalkeeper's dream, right? Because you said like, you know, like, all right, this guy's moving his left foot this way. I know where he's probably going to go, right? Like you have that like Jedi mind trick on him to like, if I dart a little bit this way or show something else, he might go that way, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that, I mean, that's like, to be honest, that's the hardest part about it is mentally I reached that point. Like I could tell when I was playing before I picked up my last injury, I could tell that I reached that point where I'm like, I know what these guys are doing before they know what they're doing. You know, so, but for me, it's not, I'm trying to do my best to not let that go to waste. You know, I'm starting a goalkeeper academy down here in Tampa so that I can kind of pass that knowledge on because, you know, I think that it is a position that is so misunderstood. There's only so many people in the world that, you know, play the goalie position. So it is a waste of knowledge if I wasn't to pass it down or like try to help the next people gain that knowledge as quick as possible. So I am going to do something with it. But in terms of playing, that is 1,000% the hardest part because mentally I was at that state where I'm like, man, these guys are world-class players and I already know what they're doing. Like I'm way ahead of them right now. So that's the hardest part for sure.
One of the best tweets, like saying, you know, congrats and thanks for all the work when the Timbers tweeted out, I love, thanks for all the memories, Dad Tonella. Where's Dad Tonella? Where'd that come from?
You know, it's funny. It was just like a perfect storm, to be honest, because like, obviously, we've spoken about the It Had to Be Told children's books I wrote, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when I first got to Portland. And so I wrote the children's books and I wrote them, you know, more so like I just had my daughter. So like the dad aspect was cool, but I wrote them because I'm like, yo, I'm a sports fan and like kids are sports fans. Like, let's share this love of sports and like unite over sports, you know, reading and connecting with your kids that way. And then it was just a perfect storm. Like my daughter was at the ripe age where she could come out on the field with me. I think my demeanor in general is very dad-esque. You know, I'm just like a dad. Like people look at me and they're like, oh, that's a dad. And my humor is very dad. Like it just fits the mold very perfectly. And then, so once the children's books, the combination of the children's books, my daughter, and just my overall demeanor, somebody came up with Dad Tonella, and then they just leaned all the way into it. And I did the same thing. There was an article in the paper that came out on Father's Day, my second year at the Timbers, that was like, it was literally just like, Dad Tonella. I was like, all right, I guess that's me now.
And, you know, Art, what Jeff's leaving out is that when he played goalie, a lot of people didn't notice, but it was Air Monarch cleats and jean shorts underneath.
No.
You couldn't see those. They were disguised, but they were there.
Don't do that to me, John. Don't come at the shoes. I've upped my shoe game since the last time I was on with you guys.
Yes, you have, man. And it's great because it goes with the Smack apparel, man. So, you know me, man. Kicks of the day. I'm always, you know, matching my shirt with the shoes. Top, like, well, you know, because again, you know, we follow John's threads on Twitter. Like, John's has a great storyteller. I feel like when he posts a thread, I feel like we should have a fireplace and just have like a beer and just start chilling, right? When he puts that, like, spins that yarn. But Jeff, since you're the guest, and then John, go to you. Top five sneakers of all time. Do you have them in your mind?
Top five of all time.
Because both sneakerheads. You guys.
I can't dive into exact colors and whatnot, but I could definitely like hit you with the numbers that I like.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Like I'll rock a pair of threes, like the Jordan threes. That's definitely my speed. I love the waffles. I think those are pretty cool to rock with shorts.
Yes.
Those are kind of like a cool brand. And I mean, standard Air Maxes, because I always do things that I think I could pull off. And, you know, my wife is quick to be like, no, you can't do fives. Or like, you can't do those.
What?
I know.
Okay, then this is the thing. You get the five lows. Because if she likes the threes, they're a mid. Then you get the five lows. And they're kind of like built like the threes. Because
high tops? She don't like any of them. She don't like any of them. Really? I'm just trying to do what I can pull off with her.
All right.
But I got the – so I'll do threes, waffles, Air Max – what number? I guess probably the 90s.
Nice.
Ones. I like ones. And then, to be honest, man, I rock a mean pair of Converses.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Those are probably my five.
Nice. Good list right there, John.
Well, I have most of the ones that I like are ones that I have never owned or like, you know, I love the, I haven't had a pair of like Air Pennies. Like, I love those shoes. You know, early Iverson, like the answer, like the question, like I haven't had those or seen those. I know you have a pair of those. The Hypnosis, like the Shaq Gnosis, like I've never worn those. Or all these I'm listing, I know you have. I've never owned these shoes. They're all awesome shoes. I mean, Jordan 3s are, you know, iconic. Like, I really liked it. And Art and I were talking about the other day, like the Griffey Air Maxes were like just awesome. The old Bo Jackson preseasons, like all these shoes I never owned. I never had money to own these shoes. Now, so those, I guess those are probably my top five that like cruise into my head right away, but I've settled into like a nice Robert Kraft, like a nice set of Air Force Ones. I have like two or three different that I like and different in blues and grays. I recently got a pair, which I never bought, like a Stan Smith, like the classic Adidas, like just nice. A straight white, especially for Florida, Jeff, you know, like it's always nice. You're always in shorts. Like I never had a pair of just clean white sneakers. They're really comfortable. What I've noticed too is some of these shoes that we've mentioned over the years that I do, I have a couple, I have maybe two or three Jordans and some others. They're really not, when it's hot, like the most comfortable just wear all day shoes. Like, they're just not great. Jordans in Florida, actually, you never wear, you know, high tops or shorts really, but they're heavy. The leather is heavy. So I've gone with more of the Air Force One, and I've slid to Adidas. Like my last pairs of shoes, I'm rolling with Adidas lately.
Last couple of pairs I copped were the Adidas, like Boba Fett's and some other ones too. So I'm all good. And the funny you mentioned, like the Shaq Gnosis, and like Jeff, you're like, my wife won't even wear the fives. We had in one of the dad groups, we had a fantasy football league, and Reebok sent me, no joke, a size run of the Shaq Gnosis. Of course, I took the 13 off the top, and they gave me like two 11s. And one of my friends from like size 11s and one of my friends from high school, he's like, do you want one? He's like, yeah. His wife would never let him wear them.
Yeah, I don't think my wife has ever cared what I wear. The styles that I've liked are always the simple ones. The Jordans are cool. But yeah, some of those, especially 90s ones, they're so big and puffy. And
bunky.
Well, there's a pair of Agassiz, whatever, your 94s or like, but they're hot pink. The other one's like,
hot
white
lava.
Yellow, and I was this close to getting the yellow ones again. Like, they're the coolest shoes. They really date you, obviously, but they're awesome. And I was like, I don't know. I don't collect. I mean, I don't, if I wore them, like, I think everything I buy now with an intent to wear, like on a fairly regular basis, which is a practical dad thing, as opposed to
the two colorways, the hot lava. And then like they're like a dark blue and orange.
Lava, right. They're lava.
Yeah.
They're, lava.
They're all good. And they're super, I mean, for the '90s, they were one of the most lightest shoes just because I think of tennis and probably like if he's playing and heat and all that other stuff. Another thing too, Jeff, I think that we all, you know, we're talking about John and, you know, spitting the yarn and the good threads on Twitter. I love the fact that you're all in on sports, man. And the fact that, like, you know, you're all in on the Bucs, all in on Tampa, you know, sports and all that. John and I might feel a little like hurt when you tweet out something like when the Rays beat the Red Sox here and there and all that other stuff, but you're all in, obviously Smack Apparel, but talk a little bit about like the passion you still have for sports. And is that's kind of a way to still kind of connect with your playing days, if at all, or just like you've always been a sports fan and so it has nothing really connected to your playing days in MLS?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny because like I thought everybody was like me. I thought everybody was like a diehard sports fan. And I always say, like, even when I was playing, I would always tell everybody, like, I was always trying to be as real as possible when I was playing because, you know, that's just who I am. And, you know, I'm not trying to hide who I am. And I am a sports fan. You know, it's been such a focal point of my life. Like some of my best memories growing up are going to games. It's being, you know, it's sitting around a TV watching games with my family or like everybody getting together for an event. So it's just something that I really, you know, grew into. And it was just like my life. I just assumed everybody was a sports fan. I always said, you know, I'm a sports fan before I'm an athlete because I just love, like, I love everything about sports. And it's like, it's not just the games, it's things on a deeper level, right? It's the connection to people. It's, you know, you say something about Smack Apparel. It's being able to mutually agree that you hate another person's team, right? But having fun with that person where like you share this mutual hate for something that you each love, but you're able to have fun with it and you're able to keep it civil and it almost like bonds you in a way with somebody that you wouldn't have anything in common with because it's just sports is like the great uniter. It was funny. I was on a flight the other day when March Madness is going on. And I think it's the coolest thing in the world when you're on a flight and every single person has their TV tuned in to whatever sporting event is going on, right? In the times where nowadays it's like nobody can agree on anything and like we're almost like made to disagree with each other. We're driven to disagree with each other all the time. To see an entire plane full of people all watching the same thing and it's like a crazy shot goes in and everybody reacts. To me, there's something beautiful in that. And I think that that's something that sports is capable of doing. So that's really, you know, of course you like it for the games, you like it for your teams, but there's stuff so much deeper with sports and the moments and are just so real and raw that for me, it's just the ultimate. So I'm never getting the fact that I'm a sports fan and that, you know, because for me, it's like, how could you not be?
No doubt.
Yeah, it's the last bastion of like commonality and live experiences together. And it really is like I've moved a ton over the last couple of years. And wherever you go, it's like it's just a way to meet people. If you have you're walking out, you have a Red Sox hat on or whatever, or someone else has I'm South Florida, so a Heat hat or a Dolphins. It's like just a way to say, you know, to have something to talk about. Even you go on a plane and people are watching the same thing, or you're in the airport and, you know, every airport bar, it's like, you know, they're either CNN is on, everybody's not paying attention, or like ESPN or there's games on where everybody's actually watching and talking. Like it may be the last thing everybody can just sit and have civil conversations about and nothing comes up and you don't care. That's what I think the beauty of it is. If you run into some dude or even a, you know, woman who's a big sports fan and you start talking, like, I don't actually want to know anything else about you. Like, I'm fine just having the conversation about why Jason Tatum's going to be a Hall of Famer and you think Jimmy Butler's better. Like, I am absolutely cool with this single serving conversation we're having and you go your way and I go mine and I go, oh, that person was cool. And they go, hey, that guy was cool. And that's it. Like, it doesn't need to be like, well, what do they think about all these things that people want you to have opinions on?
Right. No, it's pretty funny. And then of course, like, I'd love to tell you guys a little bit more about Smack, but so for the last month and a half, right? Like we had this Auburn basketball shirt, right? And the whole intention was to try to get it out there. And so for the last month and a half, I have been so involved in the Auburn basketball fan base. Like, and if you haven't gone down that rabbit hole, it's a crazy rabbit hole to go down. But the more I got to meet people and just like interact with the people, man, everybody just is fans and people are cool. Like, people, like, we disagree on a lot, but man, there's just so much love to go around. And I think that sports really is a thing that can drive that in the right direction.
Yeah, it's what you say. It's funny. It's happened to me a bunch of times when I did like the Charlie Ward biography. I became deep into like the Florida State FSU fan base, and I got all these people that I've met that I still randomly keep in touch with, only because like I wrote the Charlie book and they went to Florida State, and it brings up good memories for them. And then when I did the book on the Sonics, like I have this huge, I'm not gonna call them fan base, but like a group of people who I stay in touch with, who all we do is fire off like Save the Sonics memes. There's like a dozen of them. It's like I have a side group of people who I interviewed, high school coaches for some of like the famous athletes who are out there, and you know, just random NBA guys who, you know, who played there, and Detlef Schrempf's on this list. Like, I have nothing, I don't know any about most of these people other than like they really want the Sonics to come back to Seattle. And it's great. I don't need to know anything else. It's like, oh, that guy's cool. If I'm in Seattle, we might even get like a drink. And I don't care about anything else beyond them other than they love the Sonics and love Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and that team. And if we go to like hang out, that's enough to carry a conversation.
That's cool, man.
We need the Sonics back. That was the jerseys, the logo, and just everything. Maybe because like we grew up like, you know, the 90s and watching, you know, Gary Payton and Sean Kemp, Detlef Schrempf, all that stuff, Xavier McDaniel. Like, that was just the time. Like, all of those jerseys were heat. Even the ones that, like, I felt like had the Christmas theme to them when they were, like, playing the Bulls in the 90s. I just felt like that was awesome. And the cool thing, again, about Smack Apparel, I was talking to my wife about it. I'm like, she's like, oh, who you having on the podcast? I was explaining. I said, you know, Jeff's got, like, Smack Apparel. I'm like, there are shirts for people who get it. Like, there are sports fandoms. I'm like, this shirt, it's not like you go into, like, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods and you get like, oh, you know, Tar Heels, or because I'm North Carolina, like Duke, whatever. But like, they're shirts that you want to rock because they're different, and people who have a sense of humor will get that. I think if you're at the airport rocking that shirt, people have a conversation starter. That's a conversation starter, right?
Absolutely, man. I'm gonna clip that and just make that our new tagline, because that's exactly right. Shirts for people, shirts for fans who get it.
Yep.
Like it is so spot on. That's so funny. And it's funny you say, dude, we got one. It says, not today, Coach K, with the score of them beating, you know, Duke in Coach K's last game, with a sad Coach K on the front with the score line on it. And it's funny. Like, it is, man. We try to tap into fan bases, and we try to really – there's so many normal shirts out there for sports, right? Like the traditional, you know, go team, rah-rah shirts. But, you know, these shirts are conversation starters, and these are, you know, we try to make shirts that if you're walking through a stadium wearing our shirt, someone's going to stop and be like, yo, that is a cool shirt. Like, let's talk about this. It
should be, your
bit.
Shirt should be not safe for fanatics, right? You should be like, take the giant head on, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing. So.
you guys were kind of mentioning the subset of fans, right, John, especially when you write in the book and you stay in touch with people. That shirt, that the UNC Duke shirt, there were people in like local sport talking about, now get this, Duke is like, while we're recording this, Duke is still in March Madness, right? And they're saying, if you were Coach K, would you rather be out of the March Madness, that, you know, gotten out of the game, got lost, and beat UNC in his last home game, or would you still like have a chance to win, you know, like the last, you know, NCAA championship before you left? And most people are like, beat UNC.
That's great. Yeah, it's funny. Right when it happened, we were kind of like, yo, we need something for this. Like, this is a big them beating Duke on the day that he was supposed to have is like, you know, everybody's paying like tens of thousands of dollars to go to this game, and they end up losing to UNC. It's almost too perfect, you know? It's just like too perfect of a moment for Smack to pass up.
No doubt. Well, we're going to finish off with a Fatherhood Quick Five to keep the Art of Fatherhood theme to it. And I'm asking both of you, just talk a little bit about, you know, just the trend, like, now that you're home, how much, like you understand the time that, you know, people walk away from professional sports to spend more time with their family. And some people are like, oh, they're just saying that because, you know, they can't hack it anymore, whatever the case may be. But part of your, like, you broke it down where you, during the pandemic, you had a lot of time to think about where things were going. And like I said, you mentioned like those family moments, like you're cherishing now that you might not have had a chance to focus on because of your job, right?
Yeah, no, like I was telling you the story before, even just this morning, it was something that, you know, it's when you're playing sports or when you're playing professional sports, my mind was always on it. You know, I was thinking about it constantly 24/7. Maybe that's on me for not knowing how to, you know, check myself out and be present in what I'm doing. But at the same time, you know, like I always had a mind towards sports and I felt like I was always distracted, even if there was nothing going on. So, you know, you're distracted from your family time, you're distracted, you're missing things that are important. And, you know, just this morning, it was just like a moment of zen because, you know, I handle the mornings, I take the kids to school in the morning, and my daughter, you know, helps. My daughter's 5 years old now. She helps wake up my son who's about to turn two, and she's holding his hand and walking him down the stairs. And, you know, before, like, I know in my mind, I would have been like, all right, like, come on, like, let's move it. I gotta get to practice, you know? But it was just like such a moment of, wow, like, these are my kids. This is my family. Like, look at my daughter, you know, helping my baby son down these stairs with like the tender love and care that only a family could provide. And it was just a moment that I was just so appreciative of. And, you know, I know that when I'm playing or when I was playing, there are moments that I missed. And, you know, it was important to me to not miss those anymore. And especially after 2020, it was just one of those things where it's like, man, like, and I think a lot of people did this. It's like, what is important to you? Like, really, like, take a step back and realize what's important to you. And for me, that's my family. So it was a big driving force of my decision. And, you know, of course, we moved home to Tampa because that's home. So it was like, it was time for me to be home. It was time for me to be with my family. My wife's family's here. My family's here. You know, I didn't grow up with my cousins. I didn't grow up with my grandparents, but that's something that I want for my kids. And, you know, now it was just the right time and it was just time to make that move. And that's, you know, that's what I did. And I love every second of it. Of course, there's hard days and there's days that I do miss playing a little bit, but at the same time, like a moment like this morning is worth, to me, that's worth any, to me, that was worth everything. It was just like, holy cow, look at me observing this moment and like being able to really take it in for what it is.
And being at home, home field advantage, you know this, obviously home field advantage is huge. As a parent, you and your wife can have you time, go on a date night when the grandparents are watching the kids, right? Huge.
Man, I went on vacation. We went on a vacation to Nashville, boys. And let me tell you, that is a city. Oh my gosh. But we haven't been able to do vacations because, like, you know, when you're living away from your family, you always have the kids are old. Someone's got to watch the kids. And if your grandparents aren't there, like, you're not leaving them with a babysitter for, you know, a couple of days on end. But we left the kids with the grandparents, went to Nashville, had a time. And it was like, man, what have I been missing for the last however many years I've been playing? Vacations are great.
Yeah, man. Living there, you know, I did the same thing. We were in Dallas with my parents and my wife's parents and all our families here in South Florida. So we had no one there either. So we didn't, our vacations were like, oh, they're in town. Like, we'll go to dinner tonight and
right.
Maybe stay out, like go down in Dallas and catch a show or something. So there was just no thought of that. And now with both of them here, it you actually think about like, all right, let's do this for a night or let's do this for a weekend. We haven't done a full week yet. We have one coming up, but like it wasn't even a thing. And now that's a thing. Mine are a little older. Art's kids are even older than mine. So the key for you, Jeff, is like, you can't leave them alone for anything yet. Like Art has time where he can go out for an hour or two. It's not like the kids being home alone, nothing bad's going to happen for an hour or two, right? However long you let them leave now. I am on the doorstep of that, which even with grandparents here is an absolute like game changer of like, you don't have to pass the baton. It's like, oh, you're 10 minutes out. All right, well, she's 11. So I'm going to go out. Like they'll be okay for 10 minutes. Whereas early up until a year ago, like that's not even a thing. Like, well, as I'm tasting the idea of like, wait, I could just go do something and they're just going to they're going to survive here. I can't even, I'm giddy even just thinking about that.
It's like the circle of life, right? It's like the circle of life. You're like a kid. You're probably thinking when you're a kid, when you're 11, you're like, wait, I get to ride my bike with no parents. And now as a parent with kids, you're like, oh wait, I get to leave my kid there for 10 minutes.
Oh my God. It's such, and it's not a negative thing. It's just, you don't have that autonomy and that agency when your kids are little for better or worse for 10 or 12 years. If the kids are close, you just don't do that. And now that like, and I never even, it was so far out of something I would think about, but all of a sudden it happened like a month ago. This exact scenario happened. My wife's coming home from a class and I was trying to go out to do something. She's like, just leave him. Like you leave him to walk the dog. We leave him to go do. And I'm like, yeah, why don't we just leave him for 20 minutes? Like in the house with cameras, they're as safe as they could be here. We have alarms, like, and Art's nodding his head because he's like, we just leave the kids for 3 days at a time now. They're like teenagers.
No, I love it. All right. We're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. We'll go Jeff and then John. You guys, there's obviously five questions. Jeff answers the first one, then John back and forth. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Ready.
All right. Favorite family movie, Jeff, right now, what is it?
It's got to be Encanto, right? Is that everybody?
John. No, we are, dude, Adam Project. The Adam Project is really good. Like, surprisingly, really, really good. I've watched it with my son parts of it wholly once and parts of it twice. Like, I think it's funny. I liked it.
Nice. Favorite band you can't wait to introduce your kids to is who?
Foo Fighters.
Nice.
DMX. I'm saying this because I have a garage gym. I work out. I, like, I don't know how many mornings my kids come out, like, right before school to, like, see what's up. And I'm like, oh, like, running over to, like, turn it off. Like, it'll be nice when they come in. It's like, all right, you heard these words. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't have to.
You probably got some years before that one's out.
Oh, I got, like, yeah, I probably have, like, 5 or 6 more years. But wait, I listen to it,
wait,
a lot.
She's 11?
Yeah, so probably, like, 6, 15. I don't know. What age, Art? Tell me.
No, she's probably already hearing stuff at school right now, dude. Kids are going.
Yeah, all right, good. All right, I'm going to say Art says it's cool. Let's lean into it.
No, here's the thing. So, like, you know, one of the reasons why I ask about music is I feel like it bonds you and your kids, right? And I have two daughters, and my oldest, you know, is, like, both of them like Taylor Swift. My oldest loves Olivia Rodrigo. And, like, there's a point now where she has her own phone. We just got her phone. She doesn't have any social media apps, but there's music on there, and she's like, can I get this song? It's got a swear in it. I'm like, that's fine. Sure. And one day her and I are just running errands. I think we were going to pick up a pizza or something. And I was like, hey, you know, you're asking about my music and did they have swears? I'm going to show you one. So I showed her a Tupac and Biggie freestyle off the Funkmaster Flex thing. And she was like, whoa, when did Gigi and Bebop let you listen to this? I'm like, probably when I was your age. She's like, so I get to listen to this stuff? I'm like, as long as you don't repeat it.
Yeah. Dude, I remember bringing home Appetite for Destruction, probably like 13, whatever age I was. And I had a little boombox in my room and I put it on. My parents had, I mean, of all the things my parents are into, sports, movies, just no music. The Temptations, like, they just don't like music. So they were never up to their own level of, like, they didn't listen to Joplin or Dylan. They just weren't music people. And so they had no idea what Guns N' Roses was or Poison or these things. And I brought home, and I remember Mr. Brownstone just, like, blasting. And my mom came in and was like, she drove me back to, like, Sam Goody. Like, how could you sell this to a team? Blah, blah, blah. This is the most mortifying moment of my life. What my mom didn't know is I had the dual tapes. So I already taped it. So I was listening to it to tape it. So she made me return it. I guess this means I stole it. But I was taping it for a friend. And I just kept it and did it again and redubbed it, as they would say. So I was cool, but man, I was mortified.
Nice. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Somewhere on a beach, sipping something strong.
Yeah, I always would have said that but now living here, like, I'm sure you do, Jeff, like, we go to the beach like almost every weekend or close to it. We're only like 20 minutes away. Like, I think that's still it, like a beach house secluded without all the games and like an actual week of a beach house. But I think now that I live here, like a good ski weekend would be like a good ski. Like, we used to skiing every year. We didn't this year, but I think doing something different. At the end of the day, I would always choose a beach over anything. But living here, it is like, well, we did that Sunday, so I don't need to say.
Yeah, Miami is a different animal. Down south is a different animal.
Yeah.
This can be, this is a two-fold question. You can answer either one or both. Favorite athlete you like to watch right now, any sport, and is there a certain venue it's like on your bucket list to go see, like sports venue?
Tom Brady, of course, and Fenway Park.
Nice. That's good. So I'm going with Jason Tatum right now. I think Art will back me up on this. Dude, with Tatum and Jaylen Brown too, 1A, 1A, like what they've been doing in the last 2 months of the season, it's like watching a birth of like super duper stars from star to super, like it's amazing what they're doing. And venue, I have not been to Wrigley yet. I've been to Chicago a few times for work and things, and it has never worked out that they were home. Three times I've been there randomly over the summer, and they were just not home. That would be my favorite place, my number one place that I have not been that I really look forward to going.
Nice. When I lived in Illinois, Naperville, I've been to Comiskey 1, Comiskey 2, and Wrigley Field. When you go to Wrigley Field, just like elbow someone, be like, hey, man, if it's got to be a day game. Elbow, I'm like, hey, if we were playing by the rules, we'd be in gym right now. Little Ferris Bueller's Day Off reference. Yeah. All right. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would you want them to be?
Loving, present, and fun.
Nice. John.
Jacked, shredded, powerful.
Huge biceps.
Just gun show daily.
Flex Factory. That's
Flex
all.
Flex Factory. That's it. Yeah.
DMX Junior. DMX.
Jeff covered all the really good. Yeah, Jeff covered the good real ones that you want. So I'm just gonna roll with the physical, confident, make dad feel good comments.
Nice, awesome. Jeff, tell people where they can find you, and like especially you know Smack Apparel and all that good stuff.
Yeah, for me, I'm at Jeff_Atnella1, but, you know, I'm working for Smack Apparel. We got some great stuff. So if you want to follow us on social, it's Smack Apparel, or check out our website. We got good stuff. And I would be not doing my father-in-law, it's his company. I would be doing him a disservice if I didn't plug the Rookie Wear. Is it just me or does Duke stink? Things like that. Let your kids talk some smack too. So, you know, go check it out. We got some funny stuff for the kids as well. But yeah, so check out Smack Apparel. And that's what I'm up to now in my retired life.
Nice. John?
I love it. No, I'm gonna start sending you t-shirt suggestions.
Yeah.
I don't need royalties. Maybe just like one shirt that I can rock, and then you guys can figure out the rest.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah, sure, no problem.
John, where can people find you, especially on Twitter?
@John_Finkel Twitter. Same on Instagram. I have a website, johnfinkel.com, which is mostly kind of a place where all my books and all my interviews and all the things are. But I've been doing a lot more Twitter lately. I've stuck with that. I've decided to pare down all my social to just Twitter. The written word is where I'm at. I think a lot of people, there's a lot of noise. I'm not on TikTok. I don't do LinkedIn anymore. Twitter, I think, is the one. I'm going to ride that horse for a bit.
Flexing on Twitter. Love it. John and Jeff, it's always a great to chat with you guys. We'll, you know, come back on if there's something else you guys want to talk about or whatever. This was great. Thank you very much. You both were kind with your time. This has been great. And of all the time that we have a guest on, I always say, wish you guys continued success. And I would be remiss if I didn't do the same to you, knucklehead. So I wish you and your family continued success, gentlemen.
Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate it, man.
I want to thank this week's podcast sponsor, BigCommerce. If you're looking to build, run, and grow a better business online, make sure you check out BigCommerce. You'll get your site running up in less time with less cost. You can get an e-commerce platform from BigCommerce that won't hold you back today or in the future with your choice of the best features and functionality to showcase your products and manage your business. Make sure you go to BigCommerce.com to start your free trial today. Thanks for checking out this week's edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net. And please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.